Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Friday night. It's 11 p.m. Do you know where the witches are? No, mine. Okay. Don't want to go there yet. It is a beautiful, beautiful April evening. God, this year has gone by so quickly. And I want to start this off. And there's a listener named Emma, and thank you for writing me, Emma. And I know you're listening. Thank you very much. And when she found out the guest I had, she wrote me, and I'm serious with this. She says, Bennett, how did you get the talented G.A. Hauser as your guest? Well, I figure I'll ask the source. G.A., how did I get you?
You asked me.
Okay, Emma, you got your answer now?
For you, Bennett, anything.
Thank you. But, I, you know, When I got that, I'm like, I got to tell that to this woman, you know. It's like, yeah. But Emma, seriously, thank you for the question very, very much. I wanted to make sure that, yes, this young lady is a Renaissance woman, and I will say this. I've loved her work as a writer, and she's branched out doing film. And I one day I will ask her if she's going to do an audio book, because she is that good.
Wow. Okay, now
that's
I'm really
hint.
Questioning.
wait a second. Let me tell Dale, I have not reviewed the film yet. When I get my review copy, I will review it. Okay? So, yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm getting texts and emails about you already. The show's only 2 minutes in. They're already bugging me. Okay. I love you, Dale. Thank you for – he's one of our regulars. Thank you, Dale, for asking. But tell them – I know who you are. And if you go to her website, you'll know who she is. But why don't you give us the Reader's Digest version of your life and loves and the rest of that.
Oh, good Lord. The Reader's Digest version. Oh, well, okay. Started out as an art student. I guess that's where all the creativity hit, you know. Went to a New York art college and graduated with an AA, then went on for a bachelor's, then went into gemology. Kind of in a roundabout way came to where I am. And biggest, hugest thing in my life was becoming a Seattle police officer. That made a huge difference in my life. Glad I'm not doing that job anymore, I have to tell you. Lived in London, have visited all the major cities of the world, kind of loved to explore different places. And writing wasn't a thing I ever aspired to as a kid. It's just something I sort of – years ago, I looked for books that had gay sex in them, and guess what? I couldn't find any. I mean, this is ages ago. And I started writing books, right? Well, yeah, I think e-books really were in their infancy, and when you used to apply to publishers, you actually had to make up packets with sample chapters and cover letters and return envelopes. I mean, this was, you know, the time where there were the big six in New York, and that was about it. And but I never thought of writing as a career. I was always doing something else. And at the time, my husband was like, you know, why are you writing if you don't submit them? And I said, well, because I think they're shit. He said, well, how do you know they're shit unless you send them in? So I said, okay. So I started submitting them. And, of course, you know, the rejection letters piled up, and I was like, oh, this is silly. And he actually found my first publisher, which is was Linden Bay at the time, run by Barb and Lori, who now do ARE. And they accepted my first manuscript, but they were very dubious about the first character, which was Mark Richfield. He has become one of my biggest characters in my action series. And Barb kept, you know, doing the edits going, he's too effeminate. And I said, Barb, he's gay. And she said, well, no, the readers aren't going to like that. I'm like, trust me. And, you know, of course, the first book I think that came out that was gay was like Capital Games. And she goes, oh, my God, do you have any more of these gay ones? I'm like, well, yeah, I've got 12. And I started just giving her one a month. And that was sort of like how it began. I wanted to read them. And the only books I could find were either the porn, you know, that was sort of just the sex and no story.
Well, they wrote for about three pages, right?
Yeah, and they bored me. It's kind of like, you know, okay. And the only other thing that really inspired me, to be honest, was like Anne Rice's Cry to Heaven, because she's got this really hot, you know, sex scene between a eunuch and a cardinal or something. It was like wild stuff.
Yeah, and Belinda and the beauty series. Oh,
right?
Yeah, Anne Rice.
Eden? That's where
I love that.
I was digging for that stuff, and I just got so frustrated. Maybe I just wasn't looking in the right place, but I couldn't find it. So I will,
when you come this way, I'll invite you to my Something Weird video library, which I have films that Ghetto Freaks and the Secrets of Amanda and Wanda the Wicked Hypnotist and Dr. Sex and Girl in Trouble and For a Good Time Call a Bad Girl. You know, it's like, you know. But these were things that they ran in the 50s and the 60s, and I found them in the late 80s, early 90s, and I'm still collecting them, and I love it's popcorn. You know, it's great Z movies, if you know what I mean.
I know, I do, and you know, the origin of my writing was just self amusement. I just thought, oh, screw it, and I just created these characters in my head, and I never really thought about it as a career because I was working, you know, full time, and you know, being a police officer was really tough work. It wasn't like I would come home and have the energy to do it, but I did. It became a hobby, a pleasure hobby. And then once I got accepted to Linden Bay with Barb and Lori, they just, the books just started doing well, and they just kept taking them from me and publishing them. And it was sort of like once you had your foot in the door, even they were infant at the time. They had like a dozen authors maybe. But they were like the innovators, you know, the ebook innovators. They didn't even do paperbacks. So they were sort of my star. You know, I really am very grateful to the two of them. And that was it. I guess, you know, kind of the rest is history. I started off with publishers, like I think everybody sort of did, and then just branched out on my own when I started to just sort of, I overwhelmed myself. I wrote so many, and I guess I'm a control freak. I like to pick my own covers, you know, and I like to decide when these things are released, when the paperbacks are released, how much they are, and you can't really do that with a publisher. And I'm lucky because I was able to build up a little bit of a fan base, so I was able to take off on my own and make a living eventually.
Well, let me. Monica has a question here. Monica says, "What makes you want to write your work?"
You mean the gay books?
The gay books, yes.
I don't know. You know, that's something I talk about with a lot of women who write this stuff, and I don't know what the theory is. I mean, number one, it turns us on. Okay. You know, I mean, that's like a no-brainer. I mean, you write what gets you hot. At least that's what I do. And then when I was at a film festival in Philly when I had Capital Games premiered, that was the first question these men asked me was, why is a woman writing this? So my joke answer is, well, one man is fantastic, two is unbelievable. And they all, you know, it's sort of like the laugh. But I don't know, and I guess now part of me thinks of it as sort of an advocacy. I mean, I want people to realize it's okay. It's just love. It's two guys, it's two women, whatever. And I get very upset with all the anti-gay things, and I just want to, maybe if I can turn one head, you know, somebody reads it and goes, oh, wow, they're just two guys in love. That's all? That's sort of where I'm at right now. I'm like, that's all. It's just love. So I guess I'm becoming more, you know, at the forefront of trying to get the, you know, mindset changed on this.
Well, let me get, Bruce has a question here. He said, what is it like to transfer your words from page to film?
That's very, very challenging. When you know, a lot of people get disappointed when they see a film from a novel, especially if the novelist has not had any control. And again, this is about control. And because I've done my own films, I wrote the first script with help. I didn't know the formatting, so I worked with a person who knew how to write a script. But I wrote the Capital Games script. And the way you do it is it's very complicated. You have to look through your book and decide what's important, because it's a slashing thing. You cannot put a 200-page book into a 90-page script. It just does not happen. So you have to, you know, mentally decide what part of the book makes the film, and you have to put it into a visual context in your head. It's not easy. It's really a tough thing to do.
and what did you? I'm not trying to be rude or down anything you've done, but what did you have to eliminate transferring it from the book to the script?
That's it's a different. I wish I had
mindset.
It's kind of almost an instinct. You end up reading your book, and there are certain scenes that stick out. I know every author that writes, and writes a lot, must know this instinctively, like you said. There are certain things that you know will ruin a story if it's not there, and you have to think of a way to get it in there, because it's pivotal, it's important. You know, like the point where the guy decides, you know, in Capital Gains, for example, Steve says, I just love him. I know he's a guy, but I'm deciding I love him. And then there's Mark, you know, at the altar with a woman who just has to make a decision. So there's certain pivotal moments in the book that are vital. But when you read a book and it's fleshed out, a lot of it, what you're reading is actually description or detail. And, of course, that you don't need to place because you're doing it visually. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense to me, but I'm also a writer and a scriptwriter, so I've done this before. That's the scariest part, when you've done it and people are like, you've done it? Yeah, and it becomes a different thing. Now, look, Douglas had a question here. He says, what's it like to direct Naked Dragon from your novel?
You know, I have to tell you, again, it's about control. I did not direct Capital Games, and I did find when you write a book, you know in your head how a scene should look, what the actors should say. So when you direct, that control is in your hands. You are able to say, nope, that's not how I want it. And then you pull the actor aside, and you're able to say, this is where your head is at right now. And you kind of give them a little heads up of what you want. And the actors who are good and are receptive go, oh, got it. And then they go back and they do the scene the way you intended it to be. And if you don't direct, if you're just producing or just, you know, something in the background, you don't have the control. The director really has the control. And that was the big difference between the two films.
Well, let me ask you, E.L. James and a number of other writers, the ones that will now produce the movie, since you produced the first one but didn't direct the first one, but you wrote the script, and, you know, do you find that it's a different involvement that you might have done because you're more hands-on with the second film than you were with the first?
Yeah, it's a big difference. I think if you direct and produce, you've got complete control, really. I mean, as long as you keep everybody happy, that's the thing. Films are very, very complex. I mean, I came into it as a complete novice, just like I did with writing. You know, it wasn't like I went to school for it or I had a mentor. It was trial by fire and error for me in writing and in films. And there's a lot of people out there who really want to eat you for lunch, and you have to really trust people and get good people, you know, honest people. And if you've got a good crew and a good cast and a solid, you know, a group of people who all want the same thing and they all want to see this thing shine, you're blessed. I mean, it's just a miracle, and you watch the magic happen. And they see your vision. They get it. They don't battle you on it. They understand. And it makes the filming incredible. It's just like a high, you know, being in the production, having a top-notch cinematographer like Peter Baroche. I mean, it's just, these people are just...
Oh, God, Peter Baroche is one of the best in the world. God, how did you get the lucky?
He is. He's like a godsend to me. I don't know how our paths crossed, but he's done both films, and his eye and his filming is just brilliant. And if you have those kind of people around you, it's just become so seamless. You know, you really get lucky. You get lucky. And Peter's just unbelievable.
I believe David asked this question here. If it wasn't one of your books, whose book would you like to do as a film project?
You know, that it's a very difficult question. I have to tell you, the complexity of the filmmaking procedure is so unbelievable. I had no idea. You know, I look at even a commercial, and it's just movie magic. I mean, we turn on the TV, And these things are just there. We have no idea what is really going on behind the scenes. And I don't think I would be willing to produce or direct for someone else. I really think I don't know if I could do it. I'm not a pro. I mean, I've done this stuff as an amateur. And it's only because of the support around me, of the people who have, really it's a labor of love, have given me their best, that I was able to produce these films. And I don't know if I can do that for somebody else. I think it's, I don't know if I had the skill to do that as on my own.
Oh, don't down yourself. You're good. You're good. You know that.
I don't. I really don't. And you know, two films does not a filmmaker make. You know, it really doesn't. And it's all, it really, you know, I would hate to take on a project and have, and butt heads with the writer, because it's very, it's easy to get, it's such a stressful process that I would never want to ruin a relationship with a friend or a writer. I think I need to stick to either my own or my own writing.
Okay. Sandy asked me this question. It says, if you could, what name actor would you like to put into one of your books or that would be turned into a movie?
Are you kidding me? I have my head.
No, no, I'm not kidding. This is
no,
Sandy's
I
not. Sandy's going, I know.
Okay, let's see. Dylan Bruno. I don't know if anybody knows who he is. He's from Numbers. I just adore him. Ashton Kutcher, who wouldn't? You know, Morris Chestnut. Oh, my God. Talk about gorgeous. You know, and then, you know, Marcus Schenkenberg, the top model. I mean, you know, my list goes on and on. I wish I could afford
these. Well, go ahead. We have another 10 minutes. Go ahead.
I mean, a Bellamy boy from The Gorgeous, you know, Lucas, I don't know. Seriously.
Well, okay. So, and he's Sandy smiling. He's right. Nod, smile. Okay, thank you, Sandy. thank you very much, Sandy, for that lovely, lovely question. We're going to take a couple seconds station identification break so I can talk about the other shows on our network. Oh, my God, yes. On Monday, yes, that is the 13th of April, the attorney Sarah Abrams and myself will be doing the legal show, and we will be doing a show of To Treat or Not to Treat. And this is about a woman's right to refuse treatment from the hospital and the legal battle she is right now having. On Wednesday, April 15th, yes, that is tax day, we will have Christine M. Butler, the erotic, the wonderful erotic author, not the GA, isn't, we'll be talking about her new book that's just come out. On Thursday, we will have an introduction show to the new show that I am producing called The Women's Show. I'm going to try to have as many of the hosts, on the show discussing what they're going to have upcoming and plans for the future and everything else. And next Friday, in the hot seat, KB Miller, paranormal author extraordinary, will be sitting here in the hot seat. Now, to make matters better for me we will have Elizabeth Tilton sitting in as co-host. Now, I will still be here. You guys can't get rid of me that badly. But she will be sitting as co-host. And on the 20th, on Monday the 20th, we will have the legal show as well with Sarah and myself. On Wednesday, and that would be the 25th, we have the author, the activist, just the lady herself, Liz Ferraro, will be talking about her new book. We'll be talking about things with Huffington Post columnist Rachel Thompson and myself on Let's Talk. On Thursday, on the first official legal show, Elizabeth Black is now going to host, and she has her first guest is Gina Kincaid, which is a great erotic publisher, and discussing about Amazon and other things that they will be discussing, and it'll be a great show. And on Friday, April 24th, set your calendars, because this gentleman has never done a show with me before. He's done shows I've been on, but J.H. Glaze, the horror author, is going to come visit Anything Goes. He and I have been planning this for about 2 years, and it's finally coming roundabout, and I'm very, very happy about that. So that'll, God, we have a busy, busy schedule for the next few weeks. So I just, to me, I'm excited because we've got all these wonderful guests. I'm not denying the guest I have because I love her, but she knows that. She knows. I'll message her and go, I love you. And she says, I love you too, sweetheart. Because she knows that. We have a, it's not our Marcia. We know a lovely lady named Marcia Kesper-Cook. Now, I love Marcia. Please don't misinterpret. But this is not our Marcia. She spells it like the kid from the Brady Bunch. She says, other than romance, what's your favorite genre to read and possibly write in?
Well, I, you know, I'm getting close to 120 books. I don't know if anybody's looked at the website that I have, but I've done paranormal, I've done shapeshifters, vampires, sci-fi, straight romance, fantasy, everything. So I kind of have dabbled in just about everything. But to be honest, I just am in love with writing gay romance. Gay erotic romance is just where my heart is at.
Okay. I'm doing this now because I don't want to be short on time. How do these people get a hold of you other than Sano sending smoke signals?
Yeah, I don't think I'll see the smoke signals from here. It's, my website is www.authorgahauser, and that's with an A, not an O, .com. And, of course, I'm on Facebook. You could just look up Author GA.
I'm going to say something. I know how to spell Hauser. Spell it for these lovely people because I don't want to get an email. I wrote it, and she has a wrong website.
H-A-U-S-E-R-G-A. That's it. G-A Hauser, and you will find me.
I'm just telling you the truth. You know how many people will send me an email saying,
yeah.
I tried to find her. She must have the wrong website.
I know. And people, you know, they always want to use an O, and it's not. It's an A.
Okay. Well, I'm making sure because, okay. And they can reach you on Facebook. What's your newest book that's just come out, by the way?
Oh, that's the newest book is a cowboy book. And it's about sheriff. Yes, it's a sheriff and a cowboy, and it's Save a Horse, obviously, .. Ride a Cowboy. And it actually has been doing pretty well. I think people are really into cowboys lately. That's sort of their thing.
I wanted to make sure, this is, as I said before, this is a Renaissance woman. I mean, I can't hold a candle to this woman, how she is. I respect her more than she'll ever know. And what's your next project?
The one that's coming out in May is it's back to just man on man. It's not going to be cowboys or anything, but it's called From A to Zeke, Z-E-K-E. And it's on my website, the synopsis, if anybody wants to take a look at it, with a beautiful photograph from the fantastic Dennis Dean. So my May release is called From A to Zeke. And I just finished my June release, which is Whether or Not. So those two are the up and coming. And again, just check my website, and the blurbs are there, and you can read sample chapters.
Well, I also, I know your website. Believe me, I know your website. But if, say, a writer wanted to talk to you and ask your advice on publishing or whatever, you offer your services for a fee, of course. But you offer,
yes.
Would you like to explain that to them, ma'am?
As to why that I charge?
No. You can tell them why you charge if you want, but I'm just telling the fee they don't bother me and say, well, why can't she go down in price? It's not my business.
Okay, well, if you want advice about film production, it's $100 per hour. If you want advice about publishing, it's $50. And if you need police procedure questions, it's $10 a question.
Okay.
So that's how
well,
you
I'm
get
gonna. I'm hopefully I can get away with not being charged $100. What advice would you give
for today?
Oh, thank you. What advice would you give an upcoming writer that wants to get started or is starting, and what would you give them? Beginning writer.
Tell you the best thing for a new writer is. To support other writers. I think that when one succeeds, we all succeed. Writers are voracious, and they just love reading. So just be good to each other. You know, no backstabbing. And if you do the right thing, if you're honest and you write well, you will succeed.
Well, I'm a critic, and I will say that because next month's issue of Night Owl, you guys may not like me. Somebody said to me, they asked me, they sent me a book, and they said, I want an honest review. And I gave him 3 out of 5. And he says, I destroyed his life.
Well, you know, reviews, you have to just let them roll. Because some people, you're not going to make everybody happy. Some people will like you, and some people won't. That's just life. I mean, if you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen. You know, it's just the way
it is. I'm just, you know, I think you know me better. You know, I'm not an evil person. I tell the truth. You know, and that's the problem.
Hey, if they ask your opinion, they got to be prepared for whatever you have to say.
I love her. That's why she's good. And we didn't rehearse this even. Jeez. We didn't even rehearse this. And she's good.
It's true.
She's great.
If you don't want an opinion, don't ask, right?
Exactly.
Another thing, too, is if you don't want to be criticized, then don't put your work out there, because there are critics and there are trolls, and unfortunately that's just the way the Internet is.
Well, I'm going to correct yourself. I am not a troll. I am a critic. I've been one for 31
years.
I can say that truthfully.
There's a big difference.
I know, but I've been called a lot of names, and so I don't mind being called that, but I correct everybody. I'm not a troll. Even though
no.
I have trolled for things, but not for that.
I'm not going to go there.
I know. Hey, you've known me long enough. You know I get around. Do you have another film? Okay, this is from Diana. Do you have another film that you are planning or you're going to work on of your work?
Not at the moment, but, you know, with me, anything is possible.
Okay. One, and this is also from Diana. It's a follow-up question here. How do they, if they would like to be in a film that you're working on, how do or who do you go through or how do you do it? Have I got
there
that right,
Diana?
I'm getting a nod. Okay.
There are websites that if you go and you want to be in a film, there are websites that have auditions. So you just go, you know, to audition sites. There are like CAST, C-A-T-Z is an audition site. And you just go and be proactive, you know, find out where the auditions are. Obviously, most of them are going to be LA, but there's a few other different states that are coming out with, you know, great film locations. And do your homework, you know, go online and find out where the auditions are. Some of them are for the main characters, some are for side characters. Read the scripts, you know, read the sides. Sides are the few pages that you do for an audition. And just do your homework.
When are you going to put, when, I'm going to, this is Bennett's question here. Yes, guys, I have a question once in a while. When are you going to get one or two of your books on audio, spoken word?
Well, I have one in the making now, and it's Boys. It was one of my best sellers, and it's in the production process at the moment. So that will be my first audio.
And I will, guys, I'm throwing in my second question of the evening, yeah. I'm going to be talking to this lovely, hopefully she'll say yes, Affair de Coeur would love to have an interview with you.
Sure, just email me and we'll see what we can do.
Okay. Thank you, Louise. Now you can go to bed. Louise Sneed, I love her. She's also the publisher of Affair de Coeur. Yes, ma'am, thank you very much. I'm worthy. Thank you. All kidding aside, we have about a minute left, and I wanted to thank this beautiful lady. It's just, to me, you do great work. You really do.
It's been an honor. I mean, it's an honor to get asked in the first place, and then you've always been such a perfect gentleman, and I just adore you. And you really are, you do a wonderful thing
You're
for all of us.
You're spoiling my evil reputation, you know.
Well, I'm sorry, you know. Like I said, I'm not a critic. I'm just an author. And I think that your promotion of us is fantastic, and you do it out of the goodness of your heart, and I very much appreciate it.
Now, let me make sure we get how they can get a hold of you again, because I want to make sure that if they want to find your books, your advice, or anything else, they know where to look. Would you like to give that to them again?
Yes, www.authorauthorgahauser.com. On that site, there is an email link in all my books about me, free reads, the whole works.
Again, thank you, dear lady, for everything. Next week in our hot seat, we will have the lovely KB Miller, and we'll be talking about her new paranormal, her health issues, and we will, yes, and I thank you, Dale, for reminding me. She and I will be talking about Sharknado 3, yes. Those who know us know we will be talking immensely about Sharknado 3. Have a good night. Fly
thank
right.
Thank you, Bennett. Thank you.
Be well. Good night.
You take care. Okay, bye-bye.